From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns has been expounding chapter 7. Today he brings the next portion of a message called Gloriously Secure Amid the Storms of Life. This is part of Romans chapter 8. Paul began the chapter by stating the believer's position in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He then proceeded to demonstrate the truth of this statement by a number of arguments. He emphasized the believer's justification, sanctification, adoption, and finally his glorification. The ultimate destination for every believer in Jesus Christ is heaven. This gives the child of God much assurance, particularly in times of suffering. Times of difficulty in a believer's life sometimes cause doubts to arise. In the light of these truths, it is of the utmost necessity that the child of God be consistent in the use of the means of grace, prayer, and study of the Word. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 25. Brethren, pray for us. This one morning in the year, we reserve to refresh your memory upon the subject of prayer for ministers, and we do most earnestly implore every Christian household to grant the fervent request of this text, first uttered by an apostle, and now repeated by us. Brethren, our work is solemnly momentous, involving weal or woe to thousands. We treat with souls for God on eternal business, and our word is either a savor of life unto life or of death unto death. A very heavy responsibility rests upon us, and it will be no small mercy if at the last we be found clear of the blood of all men. As officers in Christ's army, we are the especial mark of the enmity of men and devils. They watch for our halting and labor to take us by the heels. Our sacred calling involves us in temptations from which you are exempt. Above all, it too often draws us away from our personal enjoyment of truth into a ministerial and official consideration of it. We meet with many difficult cases, and our wits are at a nonplus. We observe very sad backslidings, and our hearts are wounded. We see millions perishing, and our spirits sink. We wish to profit you by our preaching. We desire to be blessed to your children. We long to be useful both to saints and sinners. Therefore, dear friends, intercede for us with our God. Miserable men are we if we miss the aid of your prayers, but happy are we if we live in your supplications. You do not look to us, but to our Master for spiritual blessings. And yet how many times has he given those blessings through his ministers? Ask then again and again that we may be the earthen vessels into which the Lord may put the treasure of the gospel. We, the whole company of missionaries, ministers, city missionaries, and students, do in the name of Jesus beseech you, brethren, pray for us.
Smoldering embers now by thine almighty breath.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may simply call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Supplies are limited, so request yours right away. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Now let me make this clear to you. If you ever want to know the help of the Spirit, you're going to get the help of the Spirit in the use of the means of grace. First of all, there is the Word. Obviously, we are studying the Word tonight. That's where you learn of the Spirit. Christians who neglect the Bible are going to be feeling weak and desperate. Christians who simply shallowly read over the Word of Scripture, but they are not taking the time. Oh, we don't have time. Come off it. You've time to watch a football game. Right? Time to go shopping. Right? Time to go and make another bit of money. Sure. There's no time for God's Word. That's like a man who's starving to death saying, I have no time to eat. And that word will lead you to pray. And may I suggest it is because of the abject weakness of the prayer lives of God's people that they have abject weakness in other places. Listen, the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities, especially in prayer. He deals with two things when he helps us in prayer: our impotence and our ignorance. We don't know what to pray for, but he helps us. And there is a lovely picture here. There are times when you are so defeated, or so weak, or so afflicted, or so burdened, when the strength of the flesh has given out, when your tongue cleaves to the roof of your mouth and you cannot pray as you want to pray, you get down before God and you can do nothing more than groan. Listen, the devil tells you what absolute folly. That's not prayer. I want to tell you there are times when we are brought to the place that the only praying that we can do is groaning. That's the Holy Spirit interceding with inexpressible groanings, pleadings that can find no words in human vocabulary to clothe them. And here's the beauty: the Father in heaven who searches the hearts, he knows the mind of the Spirit. He knows what the Holy Spirit's groanings from within us mean. Do you see the picture? When I am at my very weakest and I can do nothing but groan before God, that groaning is the very strength of the Holy Ghost interceding. And it will be answered because it's according to God. Our translation says according to the will of God. And that's good translation, but it's literally according to God. Now, I want you to notice this. If the Holy Ghost within us is helping us and pleading for us according to God and His will, we know what the will of God for His people is. Verse 28 to 30 makes that clear. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. We know that. That's the true basis of our eternal security. God wills it. God purposes it. And there's nothing can overthrow His eternal purpose. Now, how do we know that all things work together for good to them that love God? How do we know that? Do you ever ask yourself that? How could Paul ever make such a statement? Well, he's summing up his whole argument here. He says, here's the reason I know it. We know that all things work together for good. Verse 29, for, because. And now you have five links in the golden chain of God's purpose. Five links of irresistible grace. Here they are. He foreknew us. He predestinated us. He called us. He justified us. He glorified us. Those are the five links in this chain of grace. He foreknew us. The facile way of looking at that is that God foreknew who would believe and who would repent and who would respond to the gospel and who wouldn't, and He elected those whom He foresaw would come to Christ. And I want to tell you that's heresy. I'm working hard at trying to make myself clear. I'm working hard at not being mealy-mouthed. Why do I say it's heresy? It is heresy to make the choice of God and the action of God in saving us dependent on any act of man, seen, foreseen, or otherwise. You'll notice it doesn't say He foreknew an action or a deed or an attitude or a response. He foreknew a people whom He did foreknow. And if you want to know what God's foreknowledge is, Acts 2 verse 23 will tell you, where you have a very common law of Greek grammar in action, and there you will find that the apostle defines the foreknowledge of God as His determined counsel or will. The will that God determined, that is His foreknowledge. In this context, it would mean He loved us, He selected us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. You notice that it's not because God foresaw we would respond to the gospel that He elected us. He elected us with the result that we respond to the gospel. That's what He's saying in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. As Paul says to the Ephesians in 1:4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So He foreknew us. And having foreknown us, He predestinated us. What does that mean? Acts 4:28 uses the very same word, and it's there translated, determined before. Set the destiny beforehand. Ephesians 1:5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Why? According to the good pleasure of His will. But here's a wee word for all the people who love to emphasize predestination to the exclusion of many other truths. He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now that's part sanctification. God never predestinated anybody to live in a sin. There's a lot of people who say, I'm saved, I'm elect, I'm predestinated, and I can live like the devil. And if you think that's carrying it too far, I have met them. And they're liars, and they're deceivers, and they're deceived. God predestinated a people to be holy, to be in the image of His Son. But that's only part of the story. The other part is glorification. The image of His Son, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:49, as we have borne the image of the earthy, so we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. He wrote to the Philippians of that day when this vile body, chapter 3, verse 21, this vile body, this body of humiliation, shall be transformed in such a way as to be made like unto His glorious body. Or as John says in 1 John 3, verse 2, concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. He foreknew us and predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Why? That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. I like what Charles Hodge said about this, if you'll excuse my reading. My wife always tells me, don't read in the pulpit. People get bored when you read. I think they can get bored even if I don't read. But that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Listen to this. The purpose of God in the salvation of man was not mainly that man should be holy and happy, but that through their holiness and happiness, His glory in the person of His Son should be displayed in the ages to come to principalities and powers. Listen, Christ, therefore, is the central part of the history of the universe. That's it. Christ is the central part of the history of the universe. His glory, as the glory of God in the highest form of its manifestation, is the great end of creation and of redemption. Now, do you get something of the magnitude of Paul's argument? Listen, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He foreknew us. He predestinated us with a view that through bringing us into Christ and bringing us unto glory, Christ would show forth the glory of God before principalities and powers in the most superlative way throughout all eternity in all the universe of God's creation. And then He called us. That's the effectual call. That's not the general call that goes out every time the gospel goes out. That's the internal, effectual call of the Spirit. How do I know it? Because, and you'll notice it's the same people in every class here. All those whom He foreknew, all those did He predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. All those whom He predestined, He called. And all those whom He called, He justified. Pardoned and accepted as righteous. And then all those whom He justified, do you see the past tense? He glorified. He glorified them, infallibly uniting them to Christ, who is already in glory. Now take all these things. In the light of all this, there's now, therefore, no condemnation. How could there be condemnation to people thus described? So here are the four arguments for the eternal security of believers. Now, verse 31. Here's a question. What shall we then say to these things? You see, Paul takes it for granted that the great truth demands a response. What I have been saying to you tonight is not to establish my view of systematic theology. It's not to establish my ideas of Calvinistic soteriology, as it's called. I'm not here to try and merely convert your mind to agree with me on a system of propositions of theological truth, however exact they may be. Listen, if that's as far as we go, we may as well never have been here. Great truth demands a response. What shall we say to these things? Has there ever been a response from your heart to the great and glorious gospel of justification, sanctification, adoption, and glorification in Christ? You've heard of the person of the Savior. You've heard of the life of the Savior. You've heard of the death and the resurrection of the Savior. You've heard of the doctrine of justification by faith alone in Jesus Christ. Tell me, has there ever been a heart response? What shall we say to these things? Oh, that God would give us the response of faith, because this truth demands that we think and that we respond.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.